Welcome to the Fuller Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 1:03 in that is Pacific Summer Time, and today is July 7th. Well, today perhaps the most recognizable or noteworthy event was the fact that oil prices are down over $2. And for Brent crude, that is now a reaction of greater than $6. So now that is the largest reaction that we've seen since the bottom in January. Now, that's an inconsistency. It has also broken the short-term progression of higher reaction lows, so that is an inconsistency. It is now testing the region of the trend mean, which is the 200-day moving average. So then that would be the last source of defense for the bullish outlook for the market. So on the assumption that the only way that you could say that these inconsistencies are can be rationalized would be to say that, okay, the market has rallied so spectacularly already, almost doubling off the low, that we might get a slightly larger pullback in the region of the trend mean, and that's exactly what we're getting, so maybe it's going to bounce from here. But that's the whole point, is that it absolutely needs to bounce from here if the benefit of the doubt is to be given to the upside. But the trend is looking a little tired. And generally speaking, after an accelerated decline and a massive reaction against the prevailing accelerating downtrend, then what you generally would expect is a larger pullback, which follows the big rebound, and then a period of ranging, which could be potentially quite volatile. And we may now be entering that. So it is, the oil price is certainly much more risky now than it would have been just last week. So because we have this somewhat larger pullback already, then that has had an influence on some of the commodity prices. For example, white sugar today was down 16. That is the first clear downward dynamic from what has been a very impressive uptrend. Then you look at silver, which was down 45 cents. And it is a testament to just how much silver has been rising, that when you look at that on the daily chart, that it doesn't look like much, but a 45 cent move in silver is a significant move. And it continues to experience some resistance in the region of this psychological $20 level, and it's not at all surprising that you get at least some pause and consolidation in the region of a big round number, and particularly following what had been a really very impressive advance already. Now, gold had obviously not rallied to the same extent as silver and wasn't as overextended, so it's not really as susceptible to a pullback and consolidation, but it was down a little bit in here today, whereas both platinum and palladium were in positive territory. But platinum is overbought in the short term and is hovering here in the region of its peak around the $1,100 area, but it hadn't broken up to new recovery highs like silver had or gold had. Yes, there is potential for a pause in consolidation here, but it isn't nearly as overextended on the upside as silver is, for example. Broadly speaking, the pullback that we've seen in the grain and bean complex has been very aggressive. So corn was pretty much unchanged in here today, but it has given up all of the advance that it put in over the last couple of months now, and is searching for a low. Whereas soybeans are down 50 in here today, and that continues to represent really perhaps the weakest sector of the commodity complex generally. The industrial metals were also a little bit weaker in here today, and copper obviously being the one that most people look at, and it was down 3 in here, but it's still a fair bit above the lows that it found, which were right at the $2 area, which had also represented a 50% decline from the peak. Well, today was a generally more a steadier day for the majority of stock markets, with Europe mostly up and a couple of markets up in excess of 1%. The Hang Seng was up a bit, and that's all taking its cue from the slightly firmer tone that we had on Wall Street yesterday. But Wall Street was just down a tad in here today. But I think that the big question, looking at the looking at these stock markets, is the role that a declining oil price may have. And oil prices have been going pretty much sideways for the last month, and yet we've had a pretty impressive decline and subsequent rebound for the majority of stock markets, and some of the commodities are starting to pull back. But for the S&P 500, and it is really perhaps more important than other indices, and perhaps also for the FTSE 100, because of the role of large cap energy in the rebound. And when we look at the accelerating move that we've had in Royal Dutch Shell, and obviously that has been because of the devaluation of the pound, but also because energy prices have been so firm over the last 6 months. So if energy prices start to roll over, and we could argue that they've already started rolling over, but if they're, and then now really the question is, to what extent we get an additional pullback, which would represent right-hand extension above the Type 1 bottom from back in January, then is that going to act as a headwind for the stock market? And it might. What we have to consider, though, is that when we look at the S&P 500 on a weekly basis, that this has been a comparatively shallow reaction, and it's been really ranging above mostly above the 200-day moving average for 3 months, and that's a consolidation at the upper side of what has been a 19-month range. So if you were to take the labels off the chart and simply look at it and on the consistency of the trend, then one could conclude that the most likely or the path of least resistance is to the upside. When we consider what could be a catalyst for that, then a move to a greater fiscal easing or deficit spending could certainly help. And considering the rise of populism, not just in Europe, but also in North America, then there is this, I think, a growing trend towards a fiscal bump, perhaps next year. Well, that would certainly help to stoke investor interest in Europe, but it could also act as the boost to corporate profits that Wall Street has been looking for. And it could help these markets to move higher. The question, of course, is that going to counterbalance the negative effects that we could have from a falling oil price? So we're probably in for a little bit of additional ranging, and the size of that range will be dictated by sentiment. So when we look at the chart, we're within 1% of the peak, so there isn't much to be gained by just waiting for the breakout, because the potential drawdown to negate the potential for a breakout is about 5% relative to 1% on the upside. So the 2000 area is really the keystone, or the really touch point to watch in terms of the S&P 500. Then when we look at Europe, it remains an area that is just plagued by issues, and the potential for a resolution is obviously going to be political. It's really an indictment of the kind of markets that we are currently presented with, that one has to take the political potential outcome as a major factor in one's decision whether to participate in a given market. But unfortunately, that is the reality that we're presented with. And obviously, Germany doesn't want to allow deficit spending and a fiscal bump from most of the highly indebted countries in Europe, and yet it's looking increasingly likely that those respective electorates have had about as much as they're going to take of the fiscal consolidation. So it's perhaps only a matter of time before we get a move on the upside here. or at least a move in terms of the fiscal rules being changed in the Eurozone. When we just take a little bit of a step back, there are a lot of short-term overbought conditions in a number of markets, so we could anticipate that there's going to be at least some consolidation. And that's particularly the case in the bond markets. And, you know, U.S. Treasuries were a little bit stronger in here today, and that unwound actually when they were down a little bit off the open in here. And, you know, there's a very low possibility that we're going to have interest rate hikes really for the rest of the year in the US. And then with the fact that so many bonds have got negative yields, that that creates an additional momentum to capture the yield available, even if it is so very low. So it's unlikely that the short-term overbought condition is going to be unwound with anything other than just a consolidation, rather than a big move, unless we get something very profound happening in terms of bullishness for other assets, or a much more benign economic environment coming through, which the bond market is not pricing in at present. And I think with that, I will leave you for today and wish all the best to all of you.